Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer, and talking dirty. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody can read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Mrs. Bub, if you want, I can mail you the Bub Timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can? No, I have not had it in the can.
Notice I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the floor of the Great American Beer Festival 2008. It's our second year broadcasting live from here, and I'm pretty happy to be here because the beer is good, and when you have a booth that does radio, people bring you beer, so I don't have to go wait in lines. As an example, I've got a Pizza Port Brewing Company sitting with me right now, and they've brought beer. We're going to get to talk about that today. It's one of these Pro-Am beers that the GABF has been doing for a couple of years now. And I'm proud to say that four different Brewing Network listeners have beers in the Pro-Am competition this year, and Julian's one of them.
Yeah, it just it goes to show how far-reaching the Brewing Network is. I mean, you guys have hit a lot of people for sure.
You're starting off on a good foot, Julian.
Okay.
Keep the compliments rolling.
I'm gonna bullshit as much as I can.
No, it's really cool. We got here and we looked over the Pro-Am list and discovered that four of the people that we know have their home brews made professionally here. The Pro-Am table is right next to us. We got moved to the front of the hall this year, which is really cool because apparently we didn't offend anybody last year in the corner that they put us in. And the BA was ballsy enough to put us right up in the front. So no F-bombs, please. And we'll keep it nice.
I promise not to lower the level of discourse too much.
Thank you. And promise me again never to use discourse on this program.
I won't. That will not continue in our discourse.
Okay.
Oh, I did it.
So sitting with me here today for this first session of the Great American Beer Festival, it's the Thursday night session. It's busier than I've ever seen it. It's my third year at the GABF, and I've really never seen it as busy as it is today. And sitting with me, I've got Greg Peters, the head brewer at Pizza Port. So welcome to the program.
How you doing? Thanks
for
having
me. We've never talked to anybody from Pizza Port on the show before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I'm stoked to have you here.
Well, thank you.
And then sitting next to him, of course, is Julian. And Julian is a home brewer, a BN listener, and I think, actually, you've had more than one of your beers brewed professionally recently.
I've been really honored and really fortunate that the guys at Pizza Port have given me these opportunities to brew a couple beers with them, and they've been absolutely amazing. I mean, they go beyond just getting the same ingredients that I use in my recipes, but they get the same brands, the same maltsters. I mean, every last detail.
Trying to be very accurate with what
absolutely.
You did in your recipe.
Absolutely. They're set on fidelity, high fidelity, for
very
sure.
Very nice. It's more you can say for a lot of brewers. Fidelity is not something that that beer lovers even like to do. We're all over the place. We're trying every beer we can, every beer drinker we can. And then your assistant brewer's here too, Yiga, is hanging out. How you doing, Yiga?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing all right.
Awesome.
You should feel lucky because usually the brewers don't bring their assistant brewer onto the show.
Can I clarify?
Yes.
I mean, Yiga isn't the assistant brewer. He's the other brewer who
I
supports
see.
Solana Beach. I mean, he does everything from mashing in to knocking out. I mean,
so he's not just the guy who like has to scoop out the mash.
No, he's not just the guy that fills kegs and and cleans lines. No, he does every single step in the process. And,
all right,
and he's
you.
Very good at it.
Okay,
as well.
Thank you. And that's one thing that I definitely want to add is when these guys have invited me to come brew with them, they make sure that I get my hands dirty is just as much as they do. And so participation is pretty high on their list, and they're very, very good about
that's
that.
That's the
it's
best
awesome.
Part about having someone else come in and brew.
I was going to say, it's not
shovel
participation.
That
that's laziness is what it is.
Well, we actually have a good story about Julian getting his hands dirty, too.
Really?
For insurance purposes, we will not repeat that story.
Let's just say it was
a miracle of physics that I walked away unscathed.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
True,
So I'm thinking, as a professional brewer, you know, one day you come in, maybe it's a Monday, you're a little hungover from the weekend, and you go, hey, let's have Julian come in and brew today, because then you only have to do half the work.
Yeah, no, that's...
That's how it works, isn't it,
No,
guys?
That's not exactly how it started, but... It's good theory.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Pro-Am beers, because I want to explain just for people who don't know. The Pro-Am booth, which is right next to us over here, you can try a lot of beers. The deal is a home brewer has to have an award-winning home brew. So they have to have produced this beer, designed it themselves, brewed it themselves, put it into a sanctioned beer competition, an AHA-sanctioned competition, and have won a medal. From there, a professional brewery has to choose, like, for example, Julian's recipe and say, we want to brew that together with you in our brewery and enter it into the Pro-Am competition. And that's what you have here. And I think you have something like 54 entries done this year. Am I close to that, Brandon? 58? 58 entries this year. So it's really growing. In the 3 years that I've seen it here, it's more and more all the time.
Well, I think... breweries are really diving in and embracing the home and brew community, and I think they're using it as a great resource. It's a really good relationship that a lot of local breweries have with local home brewers, for sure.
Okay.
They can feed off of one another.
Something that I've heard from the brewers I've talked to, and maybe you guys can help me out with this, is that it's kind of a chance for a professional brewer to get to experiment again and to really do something different that they're not normally doing in the brew house. Because we could do some really weird shit, us home brewers, and then you guys get to check it out in the brewery.
Definitely. I mean, that's where most of us started.
Okay.
You know, home brewing.
All right. So it's kind of back to your roots when you get in there to do it. So.
It is. We're fortunate enough in Solana Beach to, we have a very small system, and we're able to experiment a lot and, on a production level as well. Yeah, I mean, we have a 7-barrel brew house, but
okay. So you do get to experiment.
To experiment a lot, but not quite on the same level as home brewers. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, what is this beer? I've tried it already, but I want you to tell me what this beer is, Julian.
This is Tovarish, and it's an imperial. It's an imperial stout infused with some blackstrap molasses and espresso. And Tovarish is a little bit of a throwback to the Cold War. And it's Russian for comrade. And so a common thing to say back during, when you were behind the, when you were back in Russia was Da, tovarish, which is yes, comrade.
Okay.
So, but it's a big imperial stout.
How big?
The starting gravity is 1117 on this batch, and it finished at around 1130.
That is 32. Big.
I mean, this is America. Why go big when you can go bigger?
That's right.
So,
wow. So what does that make the ABV on this? Do you guys know?
Around
11.1. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's a wine. It's a barley wine almost.
It's a big beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's big.
I can't taste the alcohol in it though. Molasses. It's a very thick beer, but I'm not getting any hot alcohol or fusel from it.
It's when did we brew this, Julian? Back in.
I think we brewed it back in.
May. So it's got some age on it, and the alcohol has mellowed out a little bit, and it's definitely picked up a little bit more sweetness and maltiness. And,
okay.
You know. So.
Now, where is this molasses infused into it?
It's at the whirlpool stage, and it's about 1% of the fermentables. We used blackstrap molasses, and that's kind of the dregs of the sugar refining process. But it's got a really, really rich flavor. You don't need much in there to kind of accentuate a lot of the that plum fruitiness that I get from a lot of Special B.
Okay.
and the espresso kind of was something I added after kegging when I originally did this batch. It's a very, very small amount, but you got a whole bunch of big roasty flavors on one end, a lot of dark fruit flavors on the other end, and the espresso kind of seemed to bring them together and just make everything pop.
Okay. So that's post-fermentation, is you add the espresso.
Yeah.
You don't... Now, by adding the molasses in the whirlpool, you didn't feel like you had to boil that for 15 minutes or anything to sterilize? It was ready?
No.
Okay.
I added it whirlpool, and there's actually some brown sugar in there, too.
Okay. Add at the same time?
At whirlpool, along with whirlpool hops, too.
It's okay. 210 degree wort. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, nothing's going to survive that.
Okay. And you have, what, something like a 20-minute whirlpool anyway in your brew house, so it's sitting there for a while?
A 20? I don't know.
Is that too quick?
On a good day?
10 to 20
depends on what kind of rush you're in.
It depends on how big our lunch is, I guess. That's
right.
Usually when we eat. So. Yeah.
Fair enough. Now, how did you choose this beer? Julian, do you just walk into a brewery and say, hey, I got this great beer. You guys want to brew it? I
mean, it comes down as a decree, yes.
We
No. I was at a beer festival, the Strong Ale Festival, which is something that Pizza Port does annually.
Was it the Belgian Fest?
You know what? You're right. It was the Belgian Fest, which is later
Fest
in the year.
April.
Another great festival that Pizza Port throws annually. And I brought a couple of homebrews with me, and I shared some with Greg, and he said, whoa, I really enjoy this. Been wanting to do a big Imperial Stout for a long time. And I said, hey, I'll shoot you the recipe if you want to check it out and just see what I did.
Okay.
And Greg said, no, dude, why don't you come down
and
brew this
with
us?
Yeah, it was a little less subtle than that. He gave me the beer, and I was like, this is
really
effing awesome.
So you just wanted to brew it right away.
Let's brew this. And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it on tap at the brew house, too?
I think we're on our last half barrel right now. We've had it on for a while. We're selling it in 12-ounce Pilsner glasses for
five.
I think it's $5.50.
$5.50.
That's a deal.
It's a bargain, Buzz.
It is a bargain.
For an 11%, that's a deal. Right there, $5.50.
But we knew when we tried this beer, we knew we wanted to brew this right away.
Yeah,
it was a fantastic beer. And, you know, we taste a lot of homebrews. You know, people bring us homebrews all the time. And you know,
some are good, some are bad.
Of course. Same with us.
Good.
We get homebrews all the time.
Yeah.
All mine are bad, and some of everybody else's are good. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out, you're talking about how you probably have your last keg at the brewery there. There was somebody on today's list. There's a new list of Pro-Am beers that will be out during every session. Today, there's 30 of them out there. Well, there was supposed to be 30 of them. There ended up being 29 because Moon River Brewing Company, they had an American Brown Ale that was supposed to be entered. But I guess it was so good that they drank every bit of it at the pub and didn't even save a keg to send to the GABF.
Well, that was nice of them.
So they've entered the competition. And they didn't save enough beer to send here, even to compete and pour on the floor. So I don't know. Either the beer was really awesome, or they're really poor at planning how to save a little bit of beer.
Or it could have been hella tight.
It was hella sick.
Hella sick, y'all.
That's you were NorCal close. Right
Damn.
There.
Hell hella yeah. sick that beer hella. Was. If it can't even make it to the competition, that beer's hella sick. All right. So let me ask you this, Jules. You've had the homebrew. Well, you all did. You all can answer. You had the homebrew, and now this is the pro version. How close did you get to the original beer?
These guys were able to nail it. I mean, everything seemed to scale up really well. It's got that big fruitiness, that good coffee note in the background, that big roast. I mean, their system is great, and these guys know how to run it like nobody's business. So everything translated really well. One thing that was interesting is... I mean, when I brew this at home, I have an espresso maker at home, so I'm able to brew espresso and throw it in my kegs right away. But scaling up and brewing several gallons of espresso, I used to...
Good point.
I went over to my favorite coffee place. I'm going to plug Pete's Coffee here.
Go ahead. I'll charge him later.
And and I asked if there was any way they could brew a couple gallons of espresso, and they said no way.
They looked at you like you're an idiot.
Well, that's what everybody does. It's a perfectly logical reaction. But what I did, this is a novel use of a Morbier system.
Okay.
Is so I went ahead and I have a Morbier 2000 at home, which is the 20-gallon system. And I took 5 pounds of espresso and tied it off in one of those giant hop sacks that they use for dry hopping in a serving tank.
Yeah.
And I brewed up several gallons of really, really strong coffee on my Morbier system. and put it in a sanitized keg and brought that down to the brewery, and we added that to the beer in the serving tank.
That's a really smart idea, because how else would you... I'm picturing the espresso machine, and how else would you get several gallons of it?
So Good luck.
You brewed 5 gallons of espresso? Is that what's in this
beer? It ended up being about 3 gallons
okay.
in this batch, yeah.
And you could really taste it. It's strong stuff.
Yeah, yeah. What's cool is New Belgium is actually doing the same thing with their new espresso beer called... What's
it called? Shit, I'm too drunk to
remember. I forget what it's called. But
by the way, that's the best answer we've ever had on the Brewing Network. I don't know, man. I'm just too drunk to answer that for you.
They're actually brewing.
They have
like an amber ale, a 6% amber ale that they're adding espresso to, and they're actually brewing 100 barrels of coffee to add to that beer, which I thought was really amazing.
That really is a lot. But they
it's a ton of beer.
But they have a huge system, right? I mean, they're not. It's not a 7-barrel system that they're brewing on.
Right,
so,
right, yeah.
But that's still a ton of coffee to be brewing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to wake up to.
100 barrels.
Speaking of good to wake up to, I've called this guy in the morning a couple times just with random questions, and he'd be like, dude, I'm having Tovarish for breakfast.
Yeah.
Really? It is a good breakfast beer, I'll give it that.
It is a good breakfast beer.
And it's kind of like Duvel's a good breakfast beer because it's strong and you don't taste the alcohol, and before you know it, you have a buzz. I'd say the same thing about this one, but it's got the added bonus of tasting like coffee.
The alcohol wins. If you're
always, it's like Highlander. There can be only one.
And the caffeine. Yeah. Between the alcohol and the caffeine, the alcohol wins.
So I just want to point out here, speaking of alcohol, that Greg sits down next to me at the desk, you know, before we go on. We've got about a minute to go, and Greg looks at me and goes, hey, we've all been drinking. Is that okay? Are we allowed to be on the air? Of course, man. It's the GABF. Although, we did get a talking to. We had to go sit at a mandatory exhibitor meeting, and they said, now, no excessive drinking if you're an exhibitor, and you're not allowed to appear drunk. So the good news is I can be really drunk and not appear drunk. So I think we're never going to violate the rules of the exhibitors here.
No, it's all about appearances.
Yeah.
And there's no webcam right now, is there?
There's no webcam.
Wait.
You're not being streamed live to the world. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you sitting down with us. When do we get the results of the Pro-Am competition?
Saturday, I think, during the normal awards ceremony.
And do we get to vote as... people on the floor here at the GABF, or is it judged just like the other beers?
I think it's judged just like the other beers.
Yes.
The only thing that's different about the Pro-Am is obviously it's kind of a free-for-all, categorically speaking.
Okay.
But, Justin, thank you for having us on. I really appreciate
it. No, I'm really glad to have it because this competition to me, from the first time I heard about it, I really enjoyed it because the Brewing Network is really this mix of home brewing and pro brewing, too. We talk to guys like you, Greg, so that us home brewers can learn how to do it better. So the Pro-Am competition to me is just a perfect fit. So I always like to talk to you guys who are making it. We've got a couple other people that are going to be on the show, maybe not tonight, but tomorrow. Tasty McDowell brewed his beer with the 21st Amendment.
Excellent.
Cool. It's what's fantastic
that?
Beer. It's just called Tasty.
What's the style?
It's an IPA.
It's a really hoppy American pale ale. By any other standards, it's an IPA.
All right.
But it's amazing. It's a good. It's going to give you a run for your money in this competition, I'll tell you that. And there's a couple other, you know, like I said, 4 Brewing Network listeners have beers in the competition. So I wish you all luck. And I hope that one of our boys wins, right, Julian?
Absolutely. No, I'm rooting for everyone. But again, thank you. And I definitely have to thank the guys at PizzaPort for giving me this opportunity. They are outstanding people to hang out with and work with. And I can't say enough about them.
Very nice. You got to give him some free beer now or something. All his nice words.
Free something.
We take care of him.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I believe we're going to be speaking to Nebraska Brewing Company. Maybe not. They've got all sorts of things lined up. We're going to be doing a show here for about another 45 minutes, plus from every other session here on the GABF floor. If you're listening at home, we'll be doing this at 8 o'clock. What are we? I don't even know what time zone we're in, man. I've been traveling so
mountain
much.
Mountain time, baby.
Is it mountain time?
It's mountain time.
Thanks,
get on
Julian.
Top.
You can stick around just to keep my head focused, man. 8 o'clock mountain time tonight and tomorrow, and then we'll be broadcasting the awards to you on Saturday. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
What's good for the earth, good for your body, and great for your brew? Organic ingredients. This holiday season, the Organic Ingredient Experts Seven Bridges Co-op in awesome Santa Cruz, California offers you the gift that keeps on giving to our planet. Sustainable, fair wage ingredients to make the best organic homebrew you've ever had. There's a growing demand for organic products, and your choice to brew with them supports organic farmers worldwide. Brew organic, and you'll brew excellent beer that is free from chemical residues and genetically modified organisms, and you'll help contribute to a better world. If you're looking for organic ingredients, Seven Bridges offers a huge selection of USDA-certified kits and raw ingredients from 8 ounces to 50-pound sacks of grain, whole and pellet hops, and all the equipment you need. Seven Bridges, the organic homebrew experts since 1997. Visit www.breworganic.com.
The new brewery's looking good.
Thanks, Finn. Piece by piece.
Well, let's fire her up. Whoa! Is that a new kettle?
Yeah, just got it brand new, but paid half price.
What? And that blade scale?
40% off.
The new tap handle?
$5 instead of 13. Got a new regulator for the brew stand, too, but $5 instead of 25.
Dude, where are you stealing all this stuff from?
Where else? The More Beer deal of the day.
Announcing the Beer, Beer, and More Beer deal of the day. Every day, a new fantastic deal from big items to small that will blow you away. Boil kettles, carboy carriers, sterile siphon starters, digital timers. Watch morebeer.com every day for a new deal, and you just might find the item you've been waiting for at a price you cannot believe. Hurry, because stock is limited on most items.
And that sweet Guinness cap, let me guess.
The More Beer deal of the day.
Yeah, I knew it. Come on, let's brew something. Find the More Beer deal of the day at morebeer.com. Celebrity voices impersonated.
The Brewing Network. Saving your life.
One beer at a time.
Like that?
That wasn't bad. That was good improv.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. We got JP on the microphone.
Keeping it real.
I don't know, could be a mistake, but we'll see how that goes.
Tell you what, it's good to have this soft black thing in my face again.
You've missed it, haven't you?
I have. I really have. I've had dreams and nightmares.
If you touch it for long enough, it hardens up just a little bit.
I don't know. Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah. Hi, Bevo.
Okay, stop.
Welcome to the program, Bevo. You've been hanging out with the folks in the chat room?
A bit. You keep stealing the computer from me, so I have to stop.
Yeah, we have limited computers today. We're going to set up some more tomorrow. So chat room folks, we'll be paying much more attention to you tomorrow and Saturday when we do our other shows.
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm kind of drunk, though, too, so, you know.
Everybody's totally hammered. I'm sober.
I'm fine, yeah.
Because you've just been hiding behind this booth all day, JP.
Maybe.
Every time I leave here, you come sit here. Hi.
I was looking in the thing.
I'm at the booth. Every time I talk to JP, he's like, I'm tired.
Oh.
I'm sleepy.
Oh.
I don't want to drink 1 ounce because it just makes me more tired.
Oh. 1 ounce pours and JP can't handle it.
No, I can't.
Be a man. Can't.
All right. I want to talk about a couple of things that the GAB have here today. Since JP hasn't gone out and tried too many beers, I've been doing it for him.
Sure I have.
And I have tried a few things. Yep. Mostly I've been going to the ones with short lines because I've had a lot to do, like set up recorders. And so every time I find a... You've gone to the long ones? So New Glarus?
I went to New Glarus, Russian River. I went to Sam Adams and had that
Utopias.
30%
amazingness. Ah, you had the Utopias.
Yes.
And you liked it?
It tasted like a port. It reminded me of like a port wine. It was really good.
Wow, I didn't know you liked port.
I do.
Wow, that is good stuff. That's it's expensive,
new.
Though.
Yeah, it is.
But you drink a bottle of that, Bevo, and we're all taking advantage of you. That's just how it goes. Yeah.
Well, you know, I won't because you just ratted me out. I will be out of that line.
You'll be a gentleman.
Yeah.
I'm so disappointed about that.
And, you know, Sam's here with Bevo this year, too. And what does he do? He goes and hangs out at the Russian River booth the whole time. He comes to the... He's been wanting to come to GABF for years. He comes here, and he goes to the one brewery that he can just drive to in about 15 minutes.
Well, in his defense, he was at the Coors Light line for a little bit, too.
Oh, he was?
Oh, no.
He had to clear his palate from the Russian River. He needed a glass of water.
Apparently, he's at the Coors Light line because they're showing the playoff game.
Oh, I see. So he's looking at a little baseball.
He's watching the baseball games.
Again, he's been waiting years to come to GABF, and he stands at the Coors Light booth and watches
something
baseball.
Something he can do at home.
Yeah.
All right. I did want to talk about one beer that I tried. A friend of mine, Jay Brooks, he's a beer writer. You can go to brookstonbeerbulletin.com, I believe it is. Jay, I'm sorry if I got that wrong. And he hands me this beer, and he says, just smell it and tell me what you think about it. And I smell it, and it smells like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Really?
Like a really good one, like your mom used to make. Not your mom. She didn't like you.
Look,
but my mom used to make...
That's too soon.
Sorry.
He's grieving.
Yeah. He's still grieving.
At least I have a dad.
Oh, too soon.
Okay, you want to trade that?
Too soon.
Okay.
It happened Monday.
Oh.
Criminy.
Yeah, mine happened years ago.
So, it's peanut butter and jelly, and I taste it, and it tastes like peanut butter and jelly, but it's kind of good. Like, it's not bad. It doesn't have funky flavors. It just, it tastes like a beer that's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
What was it?
Like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich soaked in beer.
Could you ask for anything more?
Yeah, like,
I know, right?
You know, like mom used to make.
just like
when
my mother.
When she got a little tipsy.
Here. Yeah. Shut up, kid. Dip it in this.
It's great.
Thanks, Mom. It's made by Blue Moon.
Really? Speaking of Coors, right?
This was the big surprise to me, that not only was it decent, I mean, I wouldn't want a pint of it, don't get me wrong.
No.
But a little chocolate ice cream, chocolate cake, one of these beers next to you would be great. But it really surprised me that it was made by Blue Moon. Which, I don't know, I guess they're just doing some experimenting there.
They had a pumpkin ale that I really liked, too.
Really? Cool thing about the GABF is even the breweries you don't expect to have a very different beer, an experimental beer, they bust it out for GABF.
They bring out
their small batches, and they kind of rock it for the GABF. So you even try the breweries that maybe you're not a big fan of, and you find some good things.
Or you don't even know about. Like, my favorite part is going to, you know, to, like, pizzeria and brewery from some weird town in Tennessee. Right. And it's really good.
Yeah.
You know, like, great. That's awesome. I'll
and
never have that.
And they don't distribute anywhere. It's only available there.
Yeah, right.
That would just make me sad, though, because I couldn't have it.
Well, don't cry.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
I won't.
Okay. Hey, the Pizza Port guys are still here. I just want to ask you real quick. How many beers did you enter into the competition?
Just one, Just one?
Four beers.
44.
Shut up. You entered 44 beers into the competition? Because Port has the several locations?
Well, we have three brew pubs.
Yeah.
We have Pizza Port Solana Beach, the original.
All right.
The best.
That's where you are.
Pizza Port Carlsbad and Pizza Port San Clemente.
Okay.
Which are all brew pubs, and then we have a production facility called Port Brewing and the Lost Abbey. It's the same.
All of that as your 44 entries.
Yeah, and we entered 44.
That's still a lot, man. You're kind of stacking the deck.
Well, yeah, but it's all, you know, it's all separate as well.
Okay.
We, An added note, we tasted all of those on Saturday night.
Yeah.
All 44 of those.
You did? That's why you're still drunk today.
Yeah. I haven't quite recovered from that. And
I bet. How do you taste all 44 in one night, man? I don't even think I'll taste that many all day here at the festival.
Well, you know,
we
start with the 3% beers and we end with the 14% beers, you know. And
that
we pretty much crawl
night.
Out of there. So.
Wow.
And Jeff Bagby, our fearless leader, the director of brewery operations for all the brew pubs, was up at 9 in the morning the next morning when I
wow.
came to pick up my truck the next morning.
Yeah.
He was still up drinking.
That's a man.
Yeah. Well, he's a professional.
Yeah.
You know, he's a professional drinker.
And how did he look? Like, was he mobile or was he just kind of...
He asked me to sit down and have a beer with him.
He did?
And, you know...
Have a heart-to-heart?
Yeah. throwing some money on the poker game. Which,
oh, yeah.
I was going surfing, so I wanted nothing of that, but...
You should have sat down and asked him for a raise, man. That was the time to do it.
A what?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
That word doesn't exist in the brewing industry.
I make beer.
That's not your money. Raise. All right. Well, I was just curious, because some brewers, you know, they have 3 in, some have 44. That's amazing. That's a lot of beer.
At Pizza Port Solana Beach, we make 35 to 40 different beers throughout the year.
Wow.
We have 10 to 15 beers on tap at all times. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, we do a lot of experimenting. So
people don't expect to go back to Pizza Port and have the same beer.
No, I mean, we have regular customers that come in about once a week, and every time they come in, they say, you know, what's new?
Yeah.
What's on tap? And that's a great thing about the Pizza Port locations.
Okay.
You know.
How long have you been brewing? I didn't get to ask you that.
I've been the head brewer at Pizza Port Solana Beach for about 2.5 years.
And before that?
I was the assistant brewer in Carlsbad under Tommy Arthur and Jeff Bagby and Skip from Alesmith and Tom Nickel from O'Brien's and OG's and whatever for about a year before that. So
that's a lot of good mentors, man.
Yeah, yeah. I was in good hands, for
sure. You must be making some badass beer with those mentors.
big shoes to fill, that's for sure.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
Well, good luck. I hope that you guys do well.
Cheers. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
It.
Cool. 44 entries, JP. That's, I don't know. It's like how many phone calls you have to make before you get an actual date.
You know what? I really don't appreciate these kind of comments. It makes it sound like I don't have a life.
Yeah.
That I played Warcraft in my hotel room this morning.
You did, didn't you?
Kind of.
That's why you got your own hotel room.
I have free high-speed internet. What am I going to do, waste it on porn or something? Come on.
Have you checked your mobsters?
No. You too. Don't start with your geek mobsters and Warcraft.
Don't hate. Appreciate.
What's your Warcraft character's name, Bevo?
I don't have one yet because JP hasn't set it up yet.
Sam's a jerk.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Moon River Brewing Company. We're live from the floor of the Great American Beer Festival. It's our second year doing it.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm
surprised
excited.
We got back, right?
He said doing it.
Thank you, Bevo.
Oh, Bevo, it'll be our first year doing it this year. Don't worry.
Oh, because Sam's going to be hammered.
Yeah, where is Sam?
He's gone.
Yeah, he's laying under a Coors Light tap somewhere.
No, dude, Sam and I aren't doing it. We're sleeping in my brother's living room while he sleeps on the couch and watches us.
Yes.
No joke.
Oh.
He's like making sure like we don't touch in the middle of the night.
All right, hang in there. It's the Brewing Network live from the GABF. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Attention homebrew shop owners at Fermentap. They know you're tired of buying the same old gear that everyone else has. That's why Fermentap offers the newest and most cutting-edge brewing equipment known to man. Since 1998, Fermentap has been leading the fight against the boring and mundane by offering strange, unique, and just plain smart equipment. Like their stainless-domed false bottoms. Never deal with the floating plastic hassle of other false bottoms again. And since they're made from stainless steel, they'll last a lifetime. Fermentap's line of copper wort chillers are the best on the market, designed to cool your wort faster and more efficiently than other immersion chillers. They actually invented the equipment to make these chillers not only work great, but look great too. How about a fantastic line of ingredients, including vanilla beans, sorghum extract, blue agave extract, hop bitterness extract, unique wine yeasts, green coffee beans, sake kits, all stuff you can't find anywhere else. Fermentap carries all the standard products and equipment you need as well, such as all grain systems, stainless hardware, kettles, carbonation stones, you name it, they've got it. Fermentap's entire line of products has been helping retail shops meet the demands of their customers for nearly 10 years, and they want to help you too. For more information, see them on the web at fermentap.com or call Jason at 1-800-942-2750. Fermentap, better beer through innovation.
Okay, I rolled a 15 and I get a plus 2 from my yeast starter.
Nope, sorry, you failed your roll. Your beer is infected.
No way!
You had to beat a 24. It's schizosaccharomyces.
This sucks! I just failed versus oxidation! Our party is fracked! Doug's the only one left and his beer is a Berliner Weiss!
What's this? A tea party?
Hey, this is a brew session, man. Get lost!
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Does your significant other know the difference between an Irish red ale and a Flanders red ale? Do you burp, drizzle, spalt, and fart Y East 2308? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the socially awkward Patter's beer and the sci-fi convention showstopper number 8. Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
White Labs is a leader in pure yeast and fermentation services, serving the beer, wine, and distilling industries from worldwide producers for more than a decade. White Labs has 3 all-new vials for you to pitch this year, home brewers, so fire up your kettles, fill up your fermenters, and get ready for Cry Havoc, the signature yeast strain from Charlie Papazian. This yeast can ferment both ales and lagers and is great for bottle conditioning, too. Second, a cream ale blend of ale and lager yeast strains. This blend creates a clean, crisp, light American lager-style ale. Last, a Belgian-style Saison ale yeast blend. This blend melds Belgian-style ale yeast and Saison strains to create complex, fruity aromas and flavors. Get complete fermentation quickly with this blend's spicy, earthy, and clove-like flavors. White Labs, your brewing partner for great yeast. These new strains are available now for home brewers, breweries, and homebrew shops everywhere. White Labs, it's all in the vial.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their Williams German Pils is mashed with pure German Moravian two-row barley malt for a light blonde color and malty crispness you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out their unique fermenters, draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and more. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection and enter promo code BREW at the order checkout for $5 off your next order over $50. Orders placed by 3 p.m. ship the same day. Again, go to williamsbrewing.com and enter promo code BREW at checkout for $5 off your next order. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Alright everybody, welcome back to the program. It's the Brewing Network live from the Great American Beer Festival, and pretty stoked to be here. A lot of Bienners around, seeing a lot of hop grenades walking around this place, which is cool.
Bienner, I don't even know him.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we got a lot of hats and shirts all available for sale here. And at thebrewingnetwork.com, you can go to our store and buy there if you don't want to do it here. Sitting with us now, we've got Moon River Brewing Company. It's really awesome being here because there's so many brewing companies. Like, just sitting here, you have, you know, 13 brewers just walk by every 5 minutes. And John Pinkerton of Moon River is with us now. Welcome, John.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate having you on. I think we tried to get you on the program with us last year, but part of the thing about 13 brewers, like, running back and forth all day is that they're all headed out of here. They're like,
yeah, right.
They shake a couple hands and they hit the road.
Big time, yeah. Kissing babies, shaking hands, that sort of thing.
Thursday's the best time because the brewers will hang out for the Thursday, but come Friday, Saturday night, you guys are out of here, right?
Actually, I like to hang out at the booth.
I
feel like it's important to represent.
Okay.
I mean, we kind of take turns, you know, going out and enjoying some beers. But you really do have to represent, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And not everybody shares that opinion, but I don't know. We're such a small company. We come out here all the way to Denver. I mean, what does it mean if we're not there behind the booth?
Yeah. You're right. But not everybody thinks that way. I wouldn't think that way. I don't want to be behind the booth. You know, drinking beer. But I think you're right.
Part of my deal is that this is my beer. This is my company.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a hired gun, not there's anything wrong with that, but maybe the passion isn't there, or at least... I don't want to say their passion for brewing, but
sure.
You know, they don't have a stake in it, so
yeah,
maybe that's the issue there.
And you're really not even allowed to pour the beer yourself here, right? So you're just you have to have the volunteers pour it. You're just there to talk.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
I've not seen John pouring the beer.
Yes.
Brewers Association. I didn't see it.
And just in case I have not been seen pouring myself many beers.
Right.
I have not.
All right, we're getting beer delivered to us now, so that's a fantastic thing. Where's Moon River Brewing Company located?
Well, we are located in what we like to call Slovana, Georgia.
Okay.
If you've ever been to Savannah, you'll understand why we call it Slovana.
Really?
Indeed, yeah. It's one of the slowest places on Earth.
Okay.
People just don't move too fast.
I kind of like that.
Hey, but it's really friggin' hot. So for a lot of months out of the year, so I think that's kind of why.
Okay. I think Chad's from Slovana, Georgia.
I think we just found Chad's retirement home.
Yeah.
What's
when
with Slovana?
When I get any slower.
I like how Chad's keeping to the 1 ounce pour.
Yeah, what is that, Chad? Yeah. You get a pitcher of beer and you give us the tasting. Did you get briefed by the Brewers Association about how you're supposed to pour? You did.
I think you got briefed by McDowell first.
Well, wait a minute. I was told I would be drinking a lot of beer. Oh, hey, there's a beer in front of
me. There you go.
That's outstanding.
Now,
full service radio.
Do you distribute outside of Slovana?
Actually, we don't. Right now, we're just a tiny little brew pub in Savannah. We have great ambitions of going beyond that at some point. I've been working on a business plan for a couple of years, but you know, there's something about running a business, the whole day job thing. You know, it's hard to have time to do much outside of that.
Yeah. Okay. How many different beers you guys brew in there?
We've got, I don't know how many, you know, recipes on the book, so to speak. But we try to keep between 6 or 8 beers on tap. I think right now we're actually a little bit ahead of the game for once in our lives, and I think we have 9 or 10 beers on tap.
Wow.
If you count the cask ale that we do each week.
Then that's an... You do a new cask ale each week?
Yeah, generally it's just something that we have in process that we'll take a cask of, and sometimes we go kind of straight with it and do just a standard dry hopping, or sometimes we'll even spice it up. We've done some pretty neat things with some local herbs. We did an IPA with our rosemary from my yard.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool. In Savannah, like, rosemary grows like weeds. It's
really...
it loves sandy, powdery, dry soil where nothing else will grow. So, and that actually came out really nice. Rosemary has some medicinal qualities that are associated with
curing hangovers.
Well, yeah, I wish. I still haven't found that magic ingredient, but rosemary is...
You do, please let me know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of eugenol, which is a little bit of that kind of clove spice.
Okay.
And they associate some of the properties with rosemary with some nerve-associated things like Parkinson's-related stuff, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I can't really test any of that, but it's...
Well, but we can keep drinking it, and then if we stop, you know...
If we don't get Parkinson's, that's why.
Yeah. If we're not shaky, I say it works.
Yeah. I mean, it tastes good to start with, and if it might do something good for you, then why not? Yeah.
Well,
we also did a nice pale ale with sage, locally grown sage. I took it out of my buddy's garden.
Are any of these pouring here?
No, unfortunately, we didn't bring anything quite that experimental. But the one beer that we have that's pretty unique is our CB Honey Bock. And basically, what we're doing with that is we take a Bock beer recipe, and so it has the underpinnings of a German traditional Bock beer. But what we've done is we've added a little bit of American hops. There's some Cascade in there, so that kind of twists it up.
Okay.
And then, of course, the honey. Of course, most German brewers wouldn't be doing a whole lot with honey.
Sure.
We're taking local honey, which in Savannah is mostly marsh grasses. So you actually get a little bit of grassy character, which works hand-in-hand with that German malt.
Yeah.
And then we're topping it. We're doing sort of a top note. After fermentation, we're adding what we call Ogeechee Tupelo. And Ogeechee Tupelo is basically Georgia Tupelo. It's from a stand of trees in Georgia, Tupelo trees in Georgia.
Okay.
And it has, Tupelo honey has a really nice velvety, almost creamy quality. And so
It's a pretty darn honey-laden beer.
That sounds good.
It's pretty. It's a really nice beer.
So it sounds to me like not only are you into experimenting with these different ingredients, these non-traditional ingredients, but you like to keep it local, too. You like to showcase the things that you'd find right there in Savannah in your beer.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just part of what's going on all across the country, all around the world. I mean, we're trying to stay local. We're trying to do more and more of that. We've been currently hosting the Green Drinks events for our local chapter. It's sort of the social arm of the U.S. Green Building Council.
Okay.
And so we get all these very environmentally conscious people together at the pub once a month. And it's just good times.
Sounds like JP would love that. And he would invite Al Gore to hang out?
I think it would be very good.
You could pretend you're a hippie for a day, JP?
Yeah. Well, the difference between me and Al Gore is I can be environmentally conscious, but at least I know why.
I see.
Al Gore doesn't.
But you could take a jet all the way out to Savannah.
I would take
and then
a private
sit in
jet.
With these environmentally friendly people and talk beer.
You can't look at me in the eye. But I'll take a private jet out there.
Can you please say that to your opponent?
Yeah.
can you direct that question to your opponent?
Please. All right. I do have to ask you about something I heard that you make. And I'm kind of creeped out by it.
Uh-oh.
I think it's amazing, and I want to try it, like, now.
Just because you heard the...
Just because of the name.
It's not a skin secret.
Is it chocolate-frosted donut beer or something similar? What is this?
Amazing, right?
Actually, what we call it is Little Chocolate Donuts. If you may recall the days when John Belushi was still alive and on SNL.
Yeah.
And they did a skit with where he's, like, running around in an Olympic tracksuit.
When they were funny.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, in between shots, he's, like, sitting at a table smoking a cigarette in his little tracksuit, and he's like, Little Chocolate Donuts, this is what makes me perform. So that's what I was inspired by. But actually, one of our local homebrew guys came in and made the suggestion that we do this, basically a porter or stout or something with Krispy Kreme donuts.
Okay.
And he had actually, that's awesome.
What are we looking at?
I know we're on the radio and nobody saw that, but
you know that old gag where you have a watch on your hand, you have a coffee cup, and you go, "What's the time?" And you look at the time and you spill the coffee on you. One of our faithful listeners was doing that, taking a picture, pouring a drink all down
himself. Poured it all down himself. That's very funny. Nice.
For those of you and
still doesn't know,
it was awesome.
Well, anyway.
Okay. So tell me, Krispy Kreme donuts, you.
Yeah, so we've pioneered a process that we call dry nutting.
Oh. I like this beer already.
Which sounds
like
ridiculous.
What Sam and Biwa did before they got married.
It sounds exactly like that. Okay,
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Describe this process of dry nutting.
Well,
it's
a proprietary process, so I can't really divulge a whole lot of the technical information here. But
come on,
essentially what we're doing is adding the goodness of Krispy Kreme donuts to, and all we've really done this with is cask ale. So we'll take, we'll rack a cask of our Captain's Porter, which is pretty chocolatey to begin with.
Yeah.
And then we do our proprietary dry donutting process.
Which is freeze drying donuts and grinding them up, putting in the beer, right? I mean, come on, what else could dry nutting be?
Many things.
There's so many things.
God only knows.
I think the church handed a flyer to Bevo and Sam when they started dating first. Okay, this is acceptable. This is not acceptable.
And that was on the list?
And the whole dry nutting flow chart, if you'll pardon the pun.
You're really not going to tell me the dry nutting process?
I can't.
Goodness, man.
All right, but you are actually putting these donuts in the beer, in however this process goes?
You're going to try to make me reveal the secret.
No, mostly, but I do want to know if there are actual Krispy Kreme donuts in the beer in some way, shape, or form.
Well, I have to be honest. It's not technically donuts we're putting in the beer, but it is Krispy Kreme.
Okay.
It is Krispy Kreme brand goodness, shall we say.
All right. I'm with you. I follow. Go on.
And lo and behold, it actually tastes like a Krispy Kreme donut.
Does it really?
It's really weird.
What's the base beer?
Our Captain's Porter. Basically, our porter doesn't really fit into any of the porter categories. If you look at, I actually judged brown ale or brown porters today and robust porters. And both of those categories are by the numbers, our porter just totally doesn't fit. And we end up entering our porter as a sweet stout.
Okay.
Because it's sweeter, it's a little bigger, just the quality of the roast is a little different, so... this is one of those kind of strategic games we play with the whole competition. It's like, it doesn't necessarily have to be called a sweet stout, but it fits the bill. I mean, if you go by the numbers, that's what it is, I guess.
Okay.
But in my mind, it's what our porter is what I think of when I think about porters. And it's a pretty ambiguous style, historically so.
Yeah, and you can go around this floor and try 30 different porters, and they'll all, you know, some of them you'd call stouts, some of them you'd call robust, some of them you wouldn't. You know, it's...
Absolutely, and it makes the judging process pretty interesting because you get a pretty wide range of things in the category. Not all of them really fit.
Yeah.
And what's really difficult as a judge is when you get into a position where you have a great beer in front of you and it just totally doesn't fit. So then you're kind of, you have this moral dilemma about whether you're going to, you know, medal it because it's a great beer or throw it out
because
it's
fit.
Just not in the right category.
That's tough.
And that's what happens. I mean, from time to time, you literally have to take a beer that is easily a world-class medaling beer and just say, yeah, this would have been great if it was in the smoke porter category, but that's not what we're judging today.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, too, because of these wonderful beers that should win medals but just kind of put in the wrong place. But
isn't there, a comments thing where you can, say that?
Well, yeah, actually, there's a lot of different forums for us to provide feedback to the organization. And as judges, if we agree as a group that maybe the style guidelines aren't accurately describing these beers, then we can provide comments. And the styles, actually, I mean, if you look at them year to year to year, they're evolving all the time.
Okay.
I mean, some more than others, but it's a process that's very dynamic. I mean, and the organization does respond to these things. And another aspect of that is how the organization is responding to how different styles evolve. I mean, for instance, this year, I judged experimental. The experimental category is actually divided up now into three subcategories.
Really?
Two of which are brand new categories.
Okay.
So
that's great.
What are this
year?
New?
This year, the new categories under experimental are fresh hop ales.
Okay.
So we now have at least a subcategory that's just fresh hop ales, and I dare say next year it'll probably be its own category.
Great idea.
Usually they'll start out if they don't know how many they're going to get. What you don't want to have is just like three entries.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
So, next year it could easily be its own category. And then the other new category this is kind of weird. It's going to sound ridiculous, but they call it traditional styles out of category. And so a good example of that would be, for instance, if you had, say, an Oktoberfest beer that's dry hopped with Cascades.
Yeah.
You know, this is a beer that previously a brewer may not have had a place to put it. And it may be a great beer, but it just doesn't fit Oktoberfest. It doesn't fit Martin's or what have you. So
that's a great category to have, because really you can take these beautiful styles of beer and just do a little something different. You can make it more American. You can make it more local to your region, and then have nowhere to put it. That's kind of a shame.
Yeah.
I do like that they're adding these categories.
Well, the organization does a great job with this. I mean, the BA is an amazing group, and I defend the whole judging process all day long.
You do.
Especially after the judging, when you start talking to brewers that didn't win anything, like, oh, this is rigged, this is messed
course.
Up, blah, blah, blah.
That's what I would say.
You know, but
I have said that.
Yeah.
Only so many people can win.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've now been on flights where, I guess I've been on three meddling flights where we actually picked the winners. And I mean, those beers are not going to make it through if they're not amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be very tough with the, I mean, it's almost kind of sad because you have to send all these little kids back to school.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
After they've been beat up, you know.
Just get it a little better next time.
And as brewers, we all take it a little bit personally, but at the same time, this is about picking the best.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I think also as beer consumers, it helps us out a lot, because if you come back with feedback from this, especially if you thought you had made this fantastic beer, and you come back with some good feedback and some good tips about how to adjust it, it really just makes us get better beer. I mean, all the time as consumers, every year I think
the beer
gets better and better because of things like this.
I think so. Now, on the flip side, I will also say that when you're judging a beer, you're judging, it's sort of like taking a picture, you know?
Yeah.
You're judging pretty much a moment in time when that beer was bottled, and you're also dealing with the subjectivity of judges. I mean, it's inherently a human process. And even beyond that, you're dealing with what mood is that judge in? What beers does that judge like?
You know?
So
right.
There's a lot of subjectivity there, but I think it's as far as it's as good as it can be.
Sure.
And the crew that provides this the stewardship for the for all the beers, all these guys are dedicated. You know, super enthusiastic.
Sure.
It goes off without a hitch every year, and it's just amazing.
It's
really
an amazing event. A little bit of inside information from John Pinkerton of Moon River Brewing Company. I appreciate you giving us that, especially about the background of the judging and the beers. I think that people really want to know how that goes and how these beers are being chosen, so I appreciate that.
Well, if there's more interest, people should check out the You Be the Judge booth, where a lot of us are taking part in. Basically, you sit down with an individual and you say, this is how we do it, and you know, you try these beers and tell me how you would respond. So
you sit down with a real judge like yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I'll actually be doing it on Saturday night. So
you will?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
The You Be the Judge booth, it's at the front of the hall here, I think.
Yeah.
It's right near us, to our right. So if you're in the hall, check it out. If you're at home, you know, our listeners know a lot about judging beers. They're always entering homebrew competitions and really enjoy this kind of thing. So I know they liked hearing about what goes on back there.
I got a real quick question for you, John. So what does a brewery like yours, who doesn't really distribute out of the area, get from pouring on the floor at the GABF? I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
I just kind of wonder, because you see a lot of small breweries. We were talking about it earlier before you were on, where, you know, people who they just don't distribute, but they get a loyal following. Does that help you guys out at all when you want to distribute? Is that the goal? Or?
Well, I don't know. I mean, to some degree, we're planting seeds when we come here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I won't be in the Colorado market even if I get going with a production brewery in the next couple of years, for many years beyond that. But I think to a large degree, it's just kind of a way to stay on the map. You know, we are tiny. And
well, there's not only Colorado people here. People come from all over the country for this.
Oh, exactly. You know? I mean, so we get all these people that are like, oh, yeah, I grew up in Statesboro. I'm from Savannah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really one of those small world moments when you're there at the booth and people are coming up. And I've already run into a bunch of buddies from college and stuff that I haven't seen in forever.
Really?
Yeah,
that's cool, man.
It's pretty neat.
Your beer drink. It's
and besides,
a beer reunion.
I like to drink beer. And
such a good reason.
Yeah.
How many years have you been coming to the GABF?
Oh, geez. I've been brewing professionally now for 15 years, I think, and not just with Moon River, but I would say probably out of 15, I've been to about 9.
Okay.
Nice.
Not bad. Yeah. That's a lot of trips to the fest.
Work.
Yeah, it's nothing to complain about here. It's a good job. All right, I want to thank you very much, John, for coming on the show. It's Moon River Brewing Company.
Yeah.
You can go to moonriverbrewing.com and check out the website. If you're ever in Savannah, Georgia, you can go check out and get some good beers and some strange beers. I'm very interested to try some of these weird beers, man.
I know, right?
Little chocolate donuts.
Exactly. I'd love to have you back on the show and kind of beer geek out with us, and maybe we'll get some beer shipped to us. We know a local distributor there. We might have some.
We might be able to work something out. What's his company? I don't even know.
We'll get some beer.
Savannah Distributed. These guys are like.
Well, there you go.
They are the lowdown on craft brewing in Georgia. This point.
JP, have you seen Tasty McDole's name tag today?
Yeah. I took a picture of it and I posted it on Twitter.
All right, so all of the Brewing Network listeners are here and they're picking up their name tags that we've had made for them. If you're on a forum user, you've seen that. But Tasty McDole's got a Flava Flav style name tag.
Yeah, it's an 8.5 by 11 sheet.
It's giant.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, Tasty, it looks great, man.
It looks awesome.
It really looks great. You look. Come over, stand over here and put it on the webcam real quick.
Oh, yeah.
So the people, just kind of right here and face that way so the people.
Give us your best GQ.
You got to show us the folks at home your name tag. Nice work, Tasty McDole. And his beer, I believe, is the one we're drinking right here. He brewed it with
is
the 21st. It's not his.
No.
Oh, it's Nathan's, beer.
Tasty
McDole's beer is over here at the Pro-Am booth, and so is Nathan's beer. That's the one we're trying. All Brewing Network listeners. All right, we're getting out of here, JP, until tomorrow. That's the deal right now. Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow, 8 p.m.
Let's go get a full beer.
Mountain time, I think, is where we are.
Mountain
time. And we're at the Great American Beer Festival, of course.
It's mountain time.
We'll be bringing you the award ceremony on Saturday and video as well, so that you can root for your favorite brewers, like Moon River Brewing Company.
Yes.
Folks at home, check it out.
Got to bring home the hardware.
That's right. Again, John, thanks a lot for being on the show.
Yeah. Thank y'all.
All right, we are the Brewing Network. You can go to brewingnetwork.com or you can just hang out with us here all week. Beef, thanks for doing nothing today. I appreciate
it. Hey, no problem. You know, if they gave me a computer, I'd actually have done something, but whatever.
We'll get you a computer tomorrow.
Yeah, way
I'm
to go,
I'm not complaining.
Chad.
I'm cool with just drinking.
I wasn't complaining either.
You know, whatever.
And JP, I don't know what you did today,
what?
But you
Tell
did
me
it
something
well.
Positive.
You did it really well.
I like it.
Let me make a compliment sandwich for
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you.
JP, you
yes?
You showed up on time today, so
oh.
That was good.
Oh, thank you.
You looked kind of unsightly and you smelled a little bad.
Oh.
But you did pretty well on the show today. That's a nice sandwich, don't you think?
I don't know. That's where's the beef?
Incredible management yeah. skills.
It's good, right?
I'm feeling yeah. the love here.
John, this is how you motivate. I'm teaching classes all week also, if you need some employee management skills.
I could. You could probably ask many of my former employees.
You might need some. Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow at 8, and we're here all week, so stick around. Thanks. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Well, I'll have the one right now. Day. A bark will do me when the skies are gray. I'll take a pill.